Good evening. It's good to be with all of you tonight. I really do appreciate and am honored to be able to present a lesson from God's Word. And it means a lot that the elders have confidence in us young folks as they lump me in that category still to present a lesson from God's Word. Bill also let me know that I can take as much time as I need tonight. So let's strap in, folks. So, the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19 is an interaction during Jesus' ministry where a young man asks Jesus, "What deed must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus tells him, but he doesn't much like the answer. So let's turn there. We'll be starting in our text in chapter 19 of Matthew, beginning in verse 16. "And behold, a man came up to him, saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these I have kept. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." This young man went away sorrowful because he lacked the resolve to follow Jesus. He was unwilling to give up his material possessions. Tonight, let's talk for a little while about being resolved. Unlike the rich young ruler, we as Christians need to recognize the importance of being resolved in our spiritual lives. Resolved to do what's right, not in our own eyes, but in the eyes of God. When thinking of the word resolve, I can't help but think of some other forms of that same word. Words like resolute or resolution. Resolutions are often made at the beginning of a year, but in truth, they can be made at any time and are often made with the intent of trying to make oneself better. The word resolution on dictionary.com gives a number of definitions, but this particular one stood out to me. The mental state or quality of being resolved or resolute. Firmness of purpose. I like that a lot. Firmness of purpose. And kind of a funny side story, I was originally scheduled to preach around the new year, hence this topic that we're going over tonight. But unbeknownst to me and some plumbing troubles and an elder taking one for the team for me, here I am today preaching this lesson. But I had already started putting it together, and just like New Year's resolutions or any resolution, they can be done at any time, and I hope that we can gain something from it. Initially, I thought I was actually bumped off the list, but Bill let me know I don't get off that easily. So, but I'm glad to be up here. I am. New Year's resolutions carry the idea of being resolute or having a firmness of purpose to make oneself better, as I had mentioned. It's just too bad that so often we have such a poor track record of keeping those resolutions. I believe studies have shown that 25% of people actually stay committed to their resolutions after just 30 days, and only 8% accomplish them. Well, it's March now, so hopefully we aren't one of those statistics, and we are not like that rich young ruler who lacked the firmness of purpose in being resolved to follow Jesus. Just as Jesus had told them, you lack one thing, in the same way, resolutions are generally made of something you lack or something missing in our lives. For the rich man, it was having a greater love for Jesus than his possessions. For us, perhaps it's the same. With the materialism and things of that's going on. I could see how that could easily happen. I pray that not be the case for us. Or perhaps it's needing to read our Bibles more, study more, eat healthier, lose weight, exercise, cut out certain vices like smoking or alcohol or drugs, you name it. But tonight, I would like us to take a look at a few Bible characters who had no lack of resolve. They were firm in their purpose to follow God and purposed in their hearts to avoid sin. And the three main points of my lesson tonight are actually going to derive from the invitation song that Dave graciously changed for me, I Am Resolved. The first lyrics of the verse go, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. In this first verse, I can't help but think of Daniel when he was resolved not to eat the king's delicacies. And you may be wondering what that is all about. It's found in Daniel chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 1, Judah was delivered into the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar. And with that, the king instructed the chief of his eunuchs to bring certain members of the tribe of Judah back to Babylon, those that were pleasant to the eyes, those that were had knowledge and wisdom and could learn. And Daniel was among those. The king also, since these were higher than your typical hard, you know, indentured servant slave or what might would be, these particular servants came with some might call benefits. The king assigned them, in verse 5 of chapter 1, the king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. If you're going to be taken into captivity, it's probably the best result that you could have. But and among these were Daniel and some others of his friends, as we might know them, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or the wine that the king drank. And therefore, he went to that same chief of eunuchs and asked if, picking up in middle of verse 8 there. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my Lord who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. And then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, test your servants 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. We as Christians need to be resolved not to be charmed by the world's delights. Daniel could have easily eaten the king's delicacies. And most likely this was food. It mentions defiling him. Most likely this was food considered unclean within the law of Moses. He could have given the excuse, we're in captivity. What choice do we have? This is the king's food. But he didn't. He would not be charmed by them, and because of his resolve, he aided his fellow brethren from defiling themselves also. You know, sin can have a domino effect, and that effect can also impact those around you. And because of Daniel's resolve, he was able to impact those around him in a positive way. As Christians, we need to be resolved not to break God's law by being charmed by the world's delights. Even when perhaps the choice is difficult, a difficult one, we too must not defile ourselves with things spiritually unclean. Also, when tempted, we need to remember that God always provides a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that very thing. And that way of escape that you look for, it may be hard to find, but it is always there. After all, Daniel did find favor in the eyes of God in that same situation. Be resolved no longer to be charmed by the world's delights. The next two verses are two lyrics of the song I put together. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife, and I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. The children of Israel by this time had driven most of the occupants out of the promised land. And this is one of the more famous verses, if you could put fame on a verse, or more well-known verses, where Joshua is asking the people whom they will serve. Picking up in verse 14 of Joshua chapter 24, Joshua says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." The text brings out the idea of going to and following the Savior. By choosing the Savior over the false gods of Egypt, the Israelites went to the Savior. And by choosing to serve the Lord and submit to the they submit to following his instruction. As Christians, we too need to go to and follow the Savior. We need to choose whom we will serve. We already talked about not being charmed by the world's delights. Are we going to do that and then choose to serve ourselves or false teaching? I pray not. We need to be resolved in dedication to our Lord and Savior by going and following him. So what does it mean to go to and follow Jesus? It means he doesn't come to us. We go to him. It means following his teaching. It means obeying him and worshiping him and living under his authority in spirit and in truth, as it is mentioned in John 4, verse 24. And if we say we follow Jesus, but we make our own rules, we are like builders commissioned to build a castle for a king, by his design. And then we on our own accord choose to make changes to that very design. In the literal sense, if we were to do that to a literal king, we know what would happen. Off with your head. And in the same sense, by changing the design given to us through the Savior, through the inspired word, we too can achieve a spiritual death. And in the opposite of that, if we choose to obey as that design is written and worship under the authority that is mentioned in Scripture by choosing to go to and follow the Savior, that brings spiritual life and hope. Let's all be resolved to no longer be charmed by the world's delights. Be resolved to go to and follow the Savior. And then the next lyric of the fourth verse of the song, I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. When I read these lyrics, I can't help but think of the Apostle Paul. He is a man that has suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. Take a look. Think 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. It lists a laundry list of things that occurred to Paul. Picking up in the middle of verse 23, it says, far more imprisonments with countless beatings and often near death. Five times I received at the hand of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Even still in his letters, he speaks of not being disqualified in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, finishing the race in 2 Timothy 4, 7, pressing on toward the goal, Philippians 3, 14, and laboring not in vain, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Let's take a look at a few of these verses that I had mentioned, beginning first in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul disciplines his body to keep it under control, to make sure that he obtains this imperishable crown, this imperishable wreath that we talked about. He will not be disqualified. He is showing great resolve. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. These verses really bring out the idea of being resolved or having that firmness of purpose. We often think of verse 14 as the more memorable one, but I can't help but think of the words Paul uses when he says, strain forward, like someone is trying to hold him back and he is just dragging them along toward the finish line. We need to strain forward to the goal of heaven to obtain it. Also, Paul instructs that same resolve in the people that he teaches. I can't help but think of young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm reading from the ESV, Philip. Reading from the ESV on this one. I put these things before you, brothers. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive. Sounds like resolve. Because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Paul tells him to train in godliness, toil and strive for it because it holds our hope. Further down in that same text, he tells him, paraphrasing, be the example you should be. Devote yourself to the reading of Scripture. Persist to save yourself and those that hear you. There's really so much wisdom in these verses. Paul is speaking to Timothy, but most all of that text we could easily apply to any Christian, young or old. So if you aren't doing so already, be resolved to no longer be charmed by the world's delights. Be resolved to go to and follow the Savior. And like Paul, be resolved to enter the kingdom. Perhaps you're here this evening and your resolve or firmness of purpose has wavered. Make that correction tonight. You can come to the front during this closing song. We will pray for you, pray with you. Or perhaps you have yet to become a Christian. Maybe up to this point you have lacked the resolve necessary to take the steps to make that possible. Make that decision now. It's not too late. Don't be like that rich young ruler who lacked the resolve to follow Jesus. Whatever your need may be, come now as we stand and sing the invitation song.